Hallelujah. Have you come to give him thanks tonight? Amen. No matter what's going on, we can always find something to thank him for. Amen. Something to praise him for. Something to lift him up. Amen. And worship and give thanks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Amen. I'm thankful that I didn't have to be up here singing for you tonight. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. It's good to be with you tonight. Wednesday night service. We've had this situation going on down there at the down on I-10, you know, where I-10's been closed for, I guess over 24 hours now. And kind of ran into a lot of traffic coming in and thought, man, we'll see who's here tonight. See who comes in on time, you know. But praise God. You all look good tonight. Amen. It's good to see each one. Amen. You glad to be here?
Amen.
Amen. Man, we don't want to just drag in on Wednesday night. If we have to, we will. Amen. But amen. We serve a mighty God tonight. Amen. We're blessed people. Amen. You know, I imagine if there was a, you know, a wealthy man, a wealthy billionaire, somebody like Bill Gates, you know, or you know, one of these guys, Jeff Bezos, one of these really, really rich guys, you know, and they passed away and they had a reading of the will and their family was going in anticipation to see what they got. I bet they'd be on time. Amen. I bet they would come with anticipation. Amen. They would be interested to hear what was going to be read, what was going to be said. Amen. Shh, that doesn't hold a candle to what we've got tonight. Not even close. I mean, not even in the same universe. Amen. Not even close. Anything that they could have, it's gonna melt away within a lifetime. What we have will never. Not only will it never fail, it's eternal. It will never end. Amen. My, what have we got a hold of tonight? Or what's got a hold of us? Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for standing. While you're standing, let's just read our Bible tonight. I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. Pray for Brother Doug tonight. He's just taking a little break. Amen. Getting out to the mountains and taking a little time off. Much needed. Amen. Much deserved, I should say. Amen. So we just want to pray for him. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'd like to talk to you tonight. I have several quotes that I'd like to read, but just a little subject that was on my heart that I preached quite a number of years here before, but the Lord just kind of pushed me that direction. And that's a time of war. Amen. We are in a time of war. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But make no mistake, we do war. Amen. We just don't war after the flesh. Because the next verse says, but the weapons of our warfare. That means we have a warfare. Amen. We are in a war. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If you think of a pulling down of a stronghold, I think of large towers and castles, forts, amen, emplacements where guns and men and mighty armies are fortified. And our weapon can drag it to the ground like it's nothing. Mighty to God, through God, I should say, to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. As our brother Baker's been preaching about our thought life and our thoughts. Amen. This scripture kept coming to my head. I kept waiting for him to read it. Amen. But he preached it. Amen. Casting down imaginations. That is our warfare. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And I'd like to read it in the Amplified tonight, if that's all right. The same scripture here. Though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. We are taking every thought and every purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish every act of disobedience when our own obedience as a church is complete. Now I want to just say something about that sixth verse. That doesn't mean that you're punishing other people. Amen? Punish every act of disobedience. What is that? Crucifying your own flesh. Amen? Amen. And also in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Verse 8, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that we are in a time of war. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth, but a sword. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would bless this word. Lord, as we continue to read, and Father, we just receive from you tonight. I pray that you would just speak to us, Lord, speak to every heart, Lord. And Lord, you know what we have need of, Lord. We completely surrender to you. We ask you to have your way tonight, Lord, and anoint your word. Make it a living word, I pray, tonight. And we'll praise you and honor you and give you all the glory, for you alone are worthy of our praise. We thank you and we just commit our hearts to you right now. We commit our minds, our thoughts, our very being, Lord. We consecrate it for you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. So the Bible tells us that there are seasons for everything. Amen. And it's important to understand the season that we're in. You know, depending on where you live in the world or in the country, if you don't understand the season you're in, for instance, if you don't realize that it's summertime here and you go outside dressed in your parka, right, your down coat, you're going to have a hard time if you don't take enough water with you, right? You're not prepared because you don't realize the season that you're in. You're going to be at minimum, you're going to be miserable. At worst, you could be in danger. Right? You've got to understand the season and the times and the natural, but in the spiritual, we must understand how God is moving in the season and the times that we're in. Amen? So I'm here to declare to you tonight that the time that we are in is a time of grace. We know that, right? But it's also a time of war. We have always been in a spiritual battle. Not a natural battle, of course, but a spiritual battle. Even in our most peaceful times that we can imagine in our life, there is actually a war going on. There were spirits that were trying to get to you and trying to anoint you and trying to kill you. You're in a war. This war started before we ever came to earth. Amen? It started long before that. It started in heaven before God even created this earth. Amen? Where Lucifer rebelled against God. And he got lifted up in his pride. And he got out, he wanted to get out of his position and he wanted a higher place. And he wanted to exalt himself higher than God and above the children of God. And because of that, a war started. Amen? A battle. The first few verses of Revelation chapter 12 tell us that he deceived a third of the angels and those angels rebelled against God. Amen? And they were cast down. And they were cast down into the earth. And they became evil spirits. Demon powers of darkness. Amen? And those spirits are their sole goal in their own existence is to kill, steal, and destroy as much as they can. In that spiritual realm, they wage war. Amen? And they will continue to do so until Satan is utterly defeated. There's no escaping this war until it's over. Amen? Well, that's not totally true. You escape it by death. Right? When you pass on, you go to a resting place where you escape it for a season and then come back and fight some more. Amen? But as long as we're here on this earth, until that final defeat, we will be fighting this battle. It goes on all the time. Every moment of your life. And that's kind of depressing. Amen? But it's reality. And if we don't realize that, we can be consumed and we can be defeated. Amen? Let me read you a couple statements here out of the message. This is from the fourth seal. Brother Branham says, now notice what's this all coming to. We've got about 12 or 14 minutes here, I guess. He says, look at what this is all coming to. What is it? It's going right back the way it did. It started in heaven, and it's coming to the end time battle. The first thing in heaven was a battle. Lucifer was kicked out and come to the earth, and then he polluted Eden. And he's been polluting ever since. And now from the battle in heaven, it's coming to the battle on earth. And it's to be finished on earth at the end time in a battle called Armageddon. Anyone knows that? The battle started in heaven. Holy, so they kicked him out. Michael and his angels overthrowed them and was run out. And when they did, dropped right down in Eden. And here started the battle down here. Amen? Now we look to the Old Testament in Psalm 144. It says, David said, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. God helping his servant to fight, to battle. Amen? In the Old Testament, We understand that as we look at lives of people in the Old Testament, they were natural, typing the spiritual. What God was doing in the natural in the Old Testament speaks of what is spiritually being done now in the New Testament. Is that right? The Old Testament reveals to us those natural events, and it was filled with warfare and battle and bloody, brutal fighting. Amen. And if you don't have a revelation and understand that that is speaking of a spiritual warfare, then it can kind of turn you off a little bit, right? It's like, man, this is brutal. This is bloody. God's people fighting their enemies. Their enemies were always right around them. They were always surrounded. They're still surrounded today. Amen. Their enemies never letting up on them. Always trying to squeeze them and destroy them. Brother, sister, that's what's happening to us. All those demons unleashed out of the river Euphrates, they're all pressing in, attacking constantly, surrounding, fighting. But you know what? Every time Israel called on the name of the Lord, when they were walking with God, he fought their battles. But we find God in places in the Old Testament telling them things like, wipe them out. Destroy them. Remember what he told King Saul about the Amalekites, where King Saul was disobedient. He said, kill them all. Men, women, children, sheep, goats, donkeys, everything. Even their camels and donkeys. Amen. Wipe it all out. And you say, man, that seems really harsh. But you see, that's speaking of our warfare. Amen. That's speaking of a spiritual war where we don't want to leave a single demon. We don't want a single evil spirit around anointing and trying to kill our children and trying to anoint our homes and our families. We don't want to show them any mercy. Amen. Those small, little Amalekites would someday grow up to be big Amalekites. Amen. And the little things in our lives that we aren't willing to cut out, to take the word and chop it out, to cut it away. Many times it's those little things like that. They grow up and they grow up and they grow up. And that's what becomes a stumbling block in our lives. Amen. But if we would just do what God said and just kill it, wipe it out. Amen. Attack it with everything that you've got. Oh, we'd be a lot better off many times. Amen. I can confidently say that God and the forces of light are not having mercy on demons. Amen. If an angel comes to fight on your behalf, do you want him to show a demon mercy? Cut his head off. Get them out of here. Amen. They're trying to kill you. There is mercy right now. This is a time of grace for men, for mankind, but not for evil spirits. Amen. Man, if he wants to receive mercy, a man or a woman that would cry out for mercy, it's a time of mercy and grace, and we say, come, anyone, come and have mercy. Receive grace. Amen? But there is no grace for an evil spirit. No grace. There is no mercy for them. Amen? And you think sometimes when our pastor stands up here and preaches so hard, and he's coming against an evil spirit, that's why. There is no mercy. There is no reason. Amen. The only reason that maybe we're a little circumspect is because we realize that those spirits anoint people and we're trying not to hurt people. But that spirit deserves no mercy. It deserves no space, no room. We want to push those spirits out. We don't want them in our churches. We don't want them in our homes. no mercy for demons. There is no call of repentance for demons. There's no space for them to repent. Amen? Just as God called for the armies of Israel to wipe their enemies out many times, they never said, never told them if they'll repent. No, it wasn't that. It was wipe them out. Amen. We should never negotiate with the devil. Amen? There's no negotiation. There's no terms to discuss. Amen? How many times do we find ourselves, well, maybe if I just don't push it. Maybe if I just don't stir things up. Maybe if I just don't push the devil, he'll leave me alone. You want to negotiate with that guy? There's no negotiation. This war will be waged until Satan is utterly defeated. So this Old Testament depiction of war then moves on into the New Testament. Right? We saw that the natural fighting of Israel moves on into the spiritual realm in the New Testament. And it moves away from flesh and blood and names of people to names of demons. Amen? And we see more of the warfare centered around religion. Amen? Because demons are religious beings. Amen? They were God's angels. Satan was the chief angel, the worship angel. Amen? The split in heaven was in church. And so the warfare, you know, it moves into this religious realm. And Jesus, when he's on the scene, the worst demons that he comes against are the religious ones. Amen? So it has nothing to do with what vessel they happen to be using. But it's spirits anointing flesh. And those spirits try to make that battle about flesh. They try to drag the battle down into the flesh realm and make you fight the battle in that realm. And as has been pointed out so many times, that notable scripture where Jesus rebukes Peter. Amen? And he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He says, you know, I'm gonna go up, I'm gonna be delivered, the Son of Man is going to be delivered for your sake and all those things, right? And he says, "Lord, no, you know, forbid it, Lord, that you would die," and all those things. And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Because you don't savor the things of God." Amen. Jesus was fighting in a spiritual realm. That demon was trying to come against him through the flesh of his best friend on earth. His most trusted disciple. Amen? But Jesus wasn't taking the bait. He wasn't going to spare it because of the vessel that it came through. Because he knew it was a demon. He knew that wasn't Peter. He knew that wasn't Peter's thought. He knew that it was a demon power. And so he didn't spare the battle, taking the fight to that demon. "I know who you are, Satan. I know who's speaking right now. I know whose thought that is. And I'm not going to spare it. Just because you came in the flesh of my best, just, you know, one of his closest men," right? We are weak in the flesh realm. We are no match for Satan if we try to battle in our flesh. If we try to use our own strength. It will never work. We will never win. Our own strength is it's pitiful. Amen? But yeah, the Bible says that through Christ, our strength lies in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't lose. What a difference. Amen? We understand through the teachings of our prophet that the greatest battle is going on in our mind. Right? That's the great, he called it the greatest battle ever fought. Amen. And I remember here some time ago, Brother Doug was preaching about that greatest battle, and he was kind of ruminating on that word greatest. And you know, it can mean multiple things, right? When you think of greatest, maybe you're thinking biggest. I mean, it's worldwide, it's creation-wide, it's happening everywhere. Talk about a world war. A great battle. Amen? But it's also a great battle in terms of importance. It's the greatest ever. Amen. The most important battle ever fought. And it's worth fighting. You know, there's been so countless wars fought on this earth between natural armies of men. And I'm here to tell you, most of them were fought for no good reason. Most of them were fought just because somebody wanted to pick a fight. Like the two strongest kids on a playground. Right? The two biggest boys on the playground. At some point, they're going to fight. Because they got to find out who's the toughest. Many battles are just that way. Two nations, and one's got to prove who's the biggest baddest. But there was a battle, a war fought, you know, early in the 1900s. And by the way, that still throws me, right? The 1900s. Last century. Anybody else feel old? In the early of the last century. I hear kids talk about that, you know, they're in their 20s. Right? And they talk about, oh yeah, back in the 1900s. I remember people talking about the 1800s that way. They've only known the 2000s. Lord help us. Early 1900s, World War I was fought. They called it the war to end all wars. The goal was, if we fight this war, we'll never have to fight another war again. It's the biggest war, you know. It's going to decide everything on a global scale. The war to end all wars. Well, that's a good thought, right? But extremely misguided. As proof to the fact that we fought another world war just a few years after that. But brother, sister, the battle that we're in truly is the war to end all wars. It is worth fighting. It's the greatest battle. It's the most worthwhile battle. The Bible calls it the good fight. Amen. Paul told Timothy, remember he said, fight the good fight of faith, Timothy. Amen? Fighting this battle is good. It's for a good purpose. So what are we fighting? This greatest battle in our mind, as we've been hearing, has been preached. We're fighting against thoughts that are against the word. We're fighting against temptations. We're fighting against accusations of the enemy. We are casting down, as we read that first scripture, every thought, every imagination, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We are fighting against it. We are battling. We are casting it down. It's active. It's not a passive thing. It's not something you just sit back and it automatically happens. You have to engage. You have to get up and battle through it. The name Satan. His name is Lucifer, right? Did you know that Satan just means the accuser? That's what that word means. Lucifer was the angel. He became Satan. His name means the accuser or the adversary. He became the adversary. Amen? Right. Why? He set himself up as the enemy of God. He set himself up as your enemy. And he became the adversary or as the Bible says, the accuser of the brethren. Let's read that, Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. That's a good word, amen? Prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Okay, so this hasn't happened yet. Because right now, he is accusing us before God day and night. And they, say me, they, that's us, overcame him, the adversary, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. Amen. Now, we understand the placing of Revelation 12 and things to come, but the things that I wanted to show you here out of this is how he is the accuser of our brethren. That's us also, accusing them before our God day and night. He doesn't rest. Amen? Day and night. Always. We saw a vivid picture of this in the book of Job, where Satan comes before God and you know, God talks to Satan about Job. Have you considered my servant Job? Right? Have you looked at his ways and how he is upright and he's a righteous man and all these things, right? And Satan says, I'll take him. Right? He says, I'll make him curse you. All right, take your best shot. Right? He had access to come before God about Job. Job is unaware that there is a battle headed his way. Everything's good for Job, man. If you look in the book of Job and the things before that happened, he was respected. He talks about it. He talks about how he was respected, how the wise men of the city, whenever he approached, they would just shut up because everybody wanted to hear what he had to say. He was honored. He was a judge. He was a man of wealth. His children were blessed and favored. He had a good life. Amen? But that wasn't what was important. What was important was he was a man of God. Amen? And he had met God's requirements. He served God. He lived for God. And Satan came against him and tried to get him to reject God. You realize that was Satan's entire goal. He didn't care about any of the other stuff. He just wanted Job to reject God. That was his whole purpose. To drag Job down, to kill him spiritually. Amen? And so he begins to attack different parts of his life. His children, his livestock, his wealth, his health. His family, his friends. Amen? He begins to attack however he can. And he begins to come against him to try and get the child of God to turn his back on God. To backslide. Will the child of God backslide when the pressure's on? Will he stop going to church? Amen? Will he turn his back on God and say, well, if that's the way it's going to be, why would I serve a God like that? Amen? I might as well go back to the bar. I might as well go back to the streets. I might as well go back and I might as well go have fun. I might as well go enjoy life if that's how it's going to be. That's just what Satan's trying to do. Amen? Is the child of God going to backslide? Not if he's a child of God, he isn't. Amen? All the pressure does is show what you are. Amen. So many people, though, when the pressure's on, it shows where their heart is. Amen. They just go right along with it. Well, okay, I guess it wasn't. I guess that wasn't right. I guess. And off they go. Amen. Everyone turned against Job. His friends, his family, his wife told him, curse God and die. Amen. Job was sitting on an ash heap. If you looked at him, you would say, this is the most awful, defeated, miserable person in the world. But you know what? He was victorious. He was sitting on an ash heap with penniless, sick, broke, every circumstance that you can think of, and victorious. Amen. Sitting on an ash heap as a victor. His victory came because he knew where he stood with God, and he couldn't turn back. He knew he had met God's requirement, so the accusations couldn't move him. Because he knew who he was, and he knew where he stood. What a lesson, amen? Oh my. When we've truly repented, when we've truly been born again, we know who we are. There's not a devil in hell that can move us from it. There's no accusation that can come against you that will move you. Because you know that you know that you know who you are and what he's done for you. You know that there is therefore now no condemnation for you because you've passed from death to life. Amen? The enemy's accusations have no effect for a blood-born child of God. Amen. Unless you let them. Amen. There's another scene in the Bible that I want to read to you out of the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I had 1 through 2 there, but it's actually 1 through 4. And he showed me Joshua. So this is a vision that Zechariah is seeing. He says, he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. So Joshua is the name of the high priest of Israel at that time, not the Joshua that, you know, of earlier, right, that led them into the promised land. But this is a high priest named Joshua. So Joshua the high priest, so, and he represents the believer, right? He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord hath chosen Jerusalem, that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? That's something, that's a little sliver of wood that's going to burn, and you pull it out of the fire. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. So Joshua the high priest represents God's people in heavenly places. Here Satan has access to accuse him and God's people before God. And Satan is on the scene and he's standing there to resist him. And Satan has such access to accuse you before God. Amen? To attack. But we see the Lord wipe away any grounds for the enemy to stand and accuse us before him. He says, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Give this man righteous robes. Amen. He came in filthy, but I'm going to give him my righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When a child of God comes under the blood of Jesus Christ, Satan is there to try to make the accusation. And God says, Satan, just shut up a minute. There's nothing for you to accuse them about. Satan says, what about those filthy garments? All I see is my righteousness. The Bible says that we have his righteousness. Brother Branham said in that church age book that we're reading, amen, that it was literally his righteousness given to us. Think about that. So it's like Satan accusing God. Amen. When Satan comes to accuse you, he's coming up against the righteousness of God. But yet he tries. But yet he is the accuser. He fights. He is a defeated foe, but he doesn't know it yet. Amen? And so there's a battle. There's a war. There's a fight on. I'm so glad that we've been plucked out of the fire, though, aren't you? Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Before we could be consumed, he plucked us out. Cleansed us, gave us his righteousness. But the Bible says, who can lay a charge against God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Amen. But brother, sister, Satan is going to come into your mind. And he's going to come into that battleground. Because that's where he has access. And he's going to try to convince you. Amen. You're not saved. Amen. You're nothing. God doesn't think anything of you. God doesn't love you. God doesn't even acknowledge you. God, you've sinned away your day of grace. Amen. And on and on and on the accusations come. Amen. A blood-bought child of God, he tries to accuse that person before God, but there's nothing to accuse him of, so he begins to work on your mind. And tries to get you to accept a lie. It's a lie. A blood-bought child of God that's been born again has no sin. And yet he tries to come and accuse you of sin. And it's a battle. Right? Because if you give into it, it's not that you're going to be lost, but you can be powerless. You can fall into depression and traps and he can render you ineffective. Amen. He can get you to lay down your sword and stop fighting and get you to not be a threat anymore. Amen. And what we need in this hour is not brothers and sisters, not believers that are just asleep in the pew and just thankful that God has saved them, but we need warriors. Amen. We need those that are willing to fight and to battle. Because, brother, sister, there are some that haven't come all the way yet. Amen. And they need the others to create an atmosphere. And to battle through those evil spirits. Amen. And to lift up our brothers and sisters in prayer. To fight the enemy. We've been given the literal righteousness of God. It doesn't matter how dirty we were. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what the accusations were. Every person has to come face to face with the accuser. You know that that's in our natural judicial system. Right? That anyone that's accused of a crime has the right to face their accuser. Did you know that? to face the accuser face to face. So you got to, like, if you're going to accuse somebody of something, you have to look them in the eye. We have to face our accusations either here or there. The ones that face the accuser here and make it right, get it under the blood, are washed away, washed all sin away. That accusation is dealt with now in time in here. Amen. Otherwise, it'll be waiting for you. Amen? Amen. There will be those that will have to face the accusation at the judgment. And woe to them. We don't want that part. Amen? But the accusations of Satan must be faced and dealt with now. We put them under the blood. We repent with godly repentance. And he is faithful and just to forgive us, he said. Amen? In this scene in Zechariah, notice it wasn't Joshua. That's what I love. It wasn't Joshua defending himself. Did you notice that? It wasn't Joshua that said, "Satan, rebuke you." It was God. Yes. Amen. Defending him. Amen. Oh, I love that. Amen? This battle is the Lord's. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. The Lord rebuke thee. Amen. Satan, you messed with the wrong person. I'm nothing in myself, but I've got in me the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the great and mighty general. And he's going to rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Amen. I'm no match for you, devil, in my own strength, but the Lord rebuke you. Hallelujah. When there is therefore no condemnation in your life and you know where you stand with God, you can stand toe to toe and battle against the enemy and declare, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." Amen. This is from the Message Demonology. Brother Branham says the next thing he did, he come down through the other Trinity, and he's speaking about Jesus. Amen. Jesus, when he died and went down, and he says, he went down on into hell, and I can see him go up to the door. And Brother Branham knocks. Satan walked to the door and said, "Oh, you finally got here, did you?" "Yes, I'm here." I love this dramatization. Amen. Jesus knocking on the door to hell. He said, "I thought I had you when I killed Abel. I thought I got you when I killed Abel. I was sure I had you when I threw Daniel in the lion's den. When I beheaded John, I thought I had you then. Well, when you was on the cross, I thought I had you, but finally you've arrived." Jesus said, "Yes, I've arrived. And I've arrived for one purpose. You have put fear and chills over the people long enough. And I've come down to take over." Yes. Amen. "That's right," he said. "I am the virgin-born Son of God. Oh, I've got a right to Adam's sin, but my blood's still wet on the cross that paid that sin. Yes, sir. I come down to take over. Give me the keys of death and hell." They done give the keys of the kingdom to Peter, the church. "Yes, sir." He said, "Give me the keys of death and hell." You notice when he rose, he had them hanging on his side. Said, "Give me the keys of death and hell." Reached over and grabbed Satan by the neck, throwed him down, and put his foot on him. So I'm peaceful. I don't wanna fight anybody. You better. Amen. This is one enemy that you're gonna fight. There's something in every child of God that wants to put their foot on Satan's neck. Amen. He reached over, grabbed Satan by the neck, throwed him down, put his foot on him, reached over and grabbed them off and said, "You fooled people long enough. Get back in there where you belong." Amen. Hang them on his side. "I'm the boss now." Amen. "My blood has been shed up there on the cross for the remission of sins and for sickness. And you can't keep them there any longer. There'll be people who believe me. There'll be people who believe me. You can't bind them up with sickness. You can't bind them up with fear. They'll believe. Hallelujah. The keys of death and hell. Oh, hallelujah. We've got to have confidence tonight. Amen. Confidence in what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. The blood because it washes us clean. And the word because it defeats Satan anywhere, anytime, any place, under any circumstances. Amen. It's the sword that we wield with the strong arm of faith. Because we believe his word. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the things that Brother Branham said there is, you know, that kind of strikes home. He says, you can't bind them up with fear. Because Satan's counter is often fear. Right? He wants you to be afraid of, you know, God or him or what he can do to you or overstepping your bounds or, right? He preys on a child of God's sensitivity. And he tries to anoint them with fear. Amen? But the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. Brother Brown tells the story of a man named Arnold Van Winkelried. Amen? He was a Swiss man. And he was a hero of the Swiss people. Because when the armies were coming to invade them, he wasn't a great warrior or anything like that. He was just a simple man. But they charged the enemies and he ran headlong into the enemy lines and just absorbed as many spears and swords as he could and tried to just cause as much havoc with the enemy as he could. And he said, that seems kind of dumb, right? I have to admit, the pragmatic part of me says, great, you got yourself killed. Good job, right? But you see, it did something else. It attacked fear. It changed the fear equation. Amen? Where his people were afraid and the other army wasn't, it was suddenly flipped. The other army became afraid. These people are fanatics. They're crazy. And they began to second guess and to fear. Where his countrymen, man, it gave them courage. If he can do that, I can do that too. And they began to charge the enemy and it turned the tide of battle. Amen? You know that's what happened with David and Goliath. We always talk often, many times, of course, we talk about the battle of David and Goliath, right? And what David did and the fight against Goliath himself. But what about what happened afterwards? Do you realize why Israel was there stopped cold? Because they were afraid. They were afraid to fight Goliath, and they were afraid to fight Goliath's brothers, and they were afraid to fight the army of the Philistines. So they were stopped. They weren't moving. Do you know what happened after Goliath fell? Suddenly, the tables were turned. Who was afraid? It was the Philistines. Right? One man died. Granted, he was a big guy, a great warrior, but one person died out of their entire army. Right? This doesn't mean the end of the army. Suddenly they didn't have, it's not like they just suddenly didn't have an army. And their army was bigger and better. Right? It's not suddenly like this entire army of the Philistines forgot how to fight. What changed? Fear. Fear gripped the army of the Philistines. And fear left Israel. Because what happened? They saw God come on the scene. Amen. And they began to, Israel began to realize God is with us. It doesn't even matter. They could have tanks over there. They didn't know what tanks were. But they could have the biggest, baddest army in the land. It didn't matter because now suddenly that fear was broken. And they knew God was with them. Amen. And the other army, well, they were shaken. And they began to get afraid. What happened? Israel began to chase them, man. They routed them. They won that battle because fear gripped them. Amen? Hallelujah. You see how powerful that is? Many heroes, if you look in the history of warfare, many heroes in natural war were heroes because they overcame fear. And they were able to encourage their fellow soldiers. Get up. Keep moving. Don't be afraid. Keep fighting. Keep pushing. Keep pressing. And somehow the enemy sees the relentlessness. And it turns the tide of battle. Because they wouldn't give in to fear. Amen. Brother, sister, maybe your way of fighting this battle is to encourage somebody else. To not give in to fear. And just tell somebody, I'm praying for you. I'm with you. Keep going. We're victorious. Our enemy is defeated. Don't be afraid. Amen. Keep going. You fell this time. Keep going. You fell again. Keep going. Amen. One time you're going to fall for the last time. And you're going to get up and you're not going to fall again. But you've got to keep going. You've got to keep pressing. Your enemy is defeated. Hallelujah. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Fear is what held Israel back at Kadesh Barnea. It held them back from going into the promised land because they were afraid of the giants in the land. Oh, fear is terrible, brother, sister. Amen. That's why, Brother Branham puts it right in there with sickness and fear. Amen. He says you can't bind them up with fear. That means you have the power tonight, brother, sister. You have the authority to break the chains of fear. Amen. Amen. But you got to fight it. Amen. Amen. You have to war against it. You can't just accept it. You've got to push back. He said, you can't bind them up with fear because they'll believe. And we believe tonight, don't we? We believe. We're not like Israel that says we are not able. We are not able to go on the land. We are not able to conquer those giants. We are not able. We're afraid of them. Instead of looking at the promise that said, you are able. You are able. You can. With God, you can. You can go on. You can go in. You can be victorious. Look at the promise. Look at the great big God, not the great big giant. The Word says we can. Brother, sister, we are prophesied of in the message to be an invincible army. Invincible army. Do you know what an invincible army is? Invincible means that there's nothing that can, no offense that can defeat them. Right? And an army means they're fighting. An invincible army, not an invincible club, not an invincible social group, an invincible army. An army that's actively engaged in the warfare of their time, that knows the time and the season that they're in and realizes the importance of it, the significance of it, realizes that this is historical. Amen. That this time is so important that they only have a space of time here on earth, and that they're going to do everything they can. Amen. To be part of God's army and be in the fight. Prophesied to be an invincible army, not a failing army. Amen. Not being overcome, but overcoming. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1 says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou." Remember, this is natural typing spiritual. Right? You go out into battle and it looks like this is bad and that's bad, and this circumstance is a giant against you, and the doctor says that this is going on and this is incurable and you can't get over this. "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and you see horses and chariots and people more than you, be not afraid of them. When you see demons coming against you," amen, "fighting you on every turn, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." The God that saved you, that brought you out of the world, is with you. Amen. "And it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, you shall approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you." Amen. And that's what you hear from this pulpit, right? Amen. That's what you hear on the tapes. That's what you see when you read your Bible. That's what you hear from the Word of God. Amen. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts faint. Don't tremble. Don't be afraid. Neither be terrified of them. Don't let them bluff you. You fight them, you will defeat them. The only way that you can be defeated is if you don't fight. Amen. Why? We've been equipped, brother, sister. We've been given the Word of God. We've been given the token, the Holy Spirit, God's own life. Hallelujah. We've been placed in a position of authority above every evil spirit. We've been given the sword of the Word, the same thing Jesus used to fight the devil. He said, "Satan, get thee behind me." The Word says. When we say, "The Lord rebuke you." Amen. Quickly now. To take on the whole armor of God, he says, in his army, he presents his army in the form of five offices. First, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. That's his army. That's his soldiers. That's his commanding officers. Well, you don't read this in every church, I suppose, nowadays. All with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Waiting out there to meet the enemy on any grounds he comes upon. To meet the enemy with the Word of God. Amen. Each one backing one another up, with him the chief captain. Not out there in front up here or above back and behind, but in them. That's the army. Vindicating what? His resurrection by the proof of his works. John 14, 12, Jesus said, "He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also." What is it? It's God in the church in these five predestinated offices, backing up every word that he said with the Holy Spirit himself in there, which is the Word made perfect, or the Word manifest, sorry, proving his resurrection, proving that he lives. All other religions are dead. Their forms are dead. There's only one that's right, and that's Christianity, because Christ is living in the church of Christ, making his words manifest, for he is the same. If it's the same word, it'll do the same and show the same works and the same signs. Matthew 28 said so. Be with his army, in them, securing them. Think of it. The great word general triumphed in us. Amen. The general's in us. Amen. Wherever we go, we take Jesus with us. Amen. He goes along with us. Where he's not welcome, I'm not welcome. Amen. His presence makes us an oddball. It makes us not fit in. We're part of a different army. Amen. We've signed up. He says he's also, his presence makes you an oddball, but it makes you part of something, right? And we must live a life worthy of his name. Amen. Also from the message, take the whole armor of God. He said, so when God, the first battle that was ever fought, was not fought on the earth, it was fought in heaven. Michael and his angels against Lucifer. And they were kicked out of heaven. And then that great army of the devil and all his imps fell upon the earth. And God knew there was going to be a battle. There was going to be a battle. And brother, sister, there's still a battle. He says, I believed he knew from the very beginning everything that ever would be. In God's infinite, he knew every flea that would be on the earth, every gnat, how many times it would bat its eye, and how much tallow they'd all make together. He's infinite. There's a lot of gnats in the world, right? A lot of gnats in the world. And he knows every gnat and how many times it would bat its eye. I didn't even know a gnat bats its eye and how quick it does. I mean, I'm serious. Think about that. That's one insect. Okay? And you say, can God? Does he know about you? Does he know about every intimate part of your life? He knows every flea that would ever be on the earth. Fleas are little. I don't even know how many fleas are in my house. You don't even know. Am I right? You got a pet? You probably got fleas. You don't know. He knows everyone that's in the world. Every flea that would be on the earth, that's for all time. I'm just belaboring that just to show you how big our God is. How great our God is. Why do we limit him? What can he do in our lives? Amen. He's infinite, Brother Branham says. I mean, that's just all you can say. So the infinite God is going to choose for his army the best weapon that could be given. But no, we want to improve on it. Yeah? Wait, got quiet. He chose it, and that it was his word. God gave his army the best equipment could ever use, would never have to be changed. He's never changed it since. You don't improve it. It remains the same all the time. It's God's word that he fortified his people with. But yet we want to improve it. Right? We try to do things our own way. We try to reason it. We operate in the flesh realm. But the one who knows how many fleas that would ever be in the world also is pretty smart. And he gave you the best weapon. No matter how many things Satan ever gets, or how many things any other army ever gets, let's just dwell on that. No matter how many things Satan ever gets, it doesn't matter how good he gets at fighting this battle. It doesn't matter. No matter how many things he can get or anything, it can never take the place of God's first choice, his word. He gave them his word, his promise, and said, stay with it. The best that could be known. The enemy knows as long as the human race stayed with the word, he'd never be able to touch them. If only the human race would know that. He says, now I'm beginning to feel religious right now. As long as the human race stayed with the word, God fortified his family on earth, his army. You see? His family is his army. in the fort of his word. That is our fortress. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. They are fortified. The Lord is the word. They are in there, fortified, safe forevermore, as long as the human race stays in the word. As long as the church stays in the word, it's fortified. And there's nothing going to bother it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Proof of his resurrection is the army of saints doing what he said they would do and doing what he did, proving that he's still alive. They're equipped with his word and they know what he wants done with it. They're battling against darkness. They're not using it to chop and cut up their brother or their sister. But they are battling against spirits and principalities and powers of darkness that try to infiltrate the church and try to come in and come against the children of God. But brother or sister, I'm here to tell you that the weakest among us, and I'll even use the little air quotes, right? The weakest. And I use that because they're not weak. But even the weakest among us can defeat the devil. Amen? Any devil. You say, I don't feel much like a warrior. I don't look like a warrior. This is not physical. Amen? Faith-filled prayer warriors look weak to the world. They look like nothing to the world. But yet they are mighty warriors. Amen. We've got warriors. I'm looking at warriors here tonight. Amen. I'm looking at Sister Esther back there, and everybody calls her Grammy. That's a warrior. So that's Grammy. No, that's a mighty warrior of God. I'm looking at men and women and young people. Amen. That are mighty warriors. They might look weak to the world. Amen. But they are mighty unto God, unto the tearing down of strongholds. Prayer warriors, the meekest, humblest to the world, they look like nothing, but to God, they're his mighty army. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are. Amen? You can speak and confess the word of God. You can hold that sword of the word, and you can cut and defeat the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you have time for a couple more? I'm going to read them anyway. Take on the whole armor of God. He says, you know, I'm an ex-pugilist myself, which is a boxer, right? He said, I had the undefeated bantamweight championship of 3 states, and I used to watch the fellows come into the ring with all kinds of fancy stuff, all fancy fandangled on them. That didn't make them fighters. I imagine they had sequins and all kinds of things, right? Kind of looking sharp. He said, that didn't make them a fighter. Sometimes it was a sham. That didn't have nothing to do with it. If he didn't have some hidden power there to break the holds. He says, and that's the way we try to bring our churches today. The highest steeple, the prettiest pews, the best dressed crowd. He says, that don't break the toehold. That isn't the strength, in other words, that you need. He says, no, it takes that hidden power of the Spirit of God, that word in there to break the hold. That's right. Like Peter was, he was good with his sword. When Jesus got in trouble, he pulled out his sword and he could flop any way and cut the high priest, his servant's ear off with the sword. But when it come to real Christian courage, he didn't have it. But the spiritual courage, he denied the word made flesh standing right among them. Oh, he was good with his sword. That's right. He could duel the creed just as good as anybody could. But when it come to spiritual courage, he didn't have it. Amen. We probably all met people that, man, they can whip out the, they can quote the message. They can whip out that sword and just whip you with it. Right? I've got a quote for your quote for your quote. Amen? And they're ready to fight. But what about spiritual courage? Amen? What about a life? What about a prayer warrior? Brother Bram said he failed right there. Why? He only knew one thing, his creed. But brother, after he went up to Pentecost, he put on the whole armor of God. Now watch him. He's a different person now. He put on that whole armor. Amen. Brother, sister, worship strikes fear in the heart of the enemy. Amen. They're the ones that should be afraid. They try to anoint you with fear because they know fear well. All they have is fear. Amen. And they are the ones that should be afraid. When a child of God gets on their knees and begins to pray and connect with Father God, when the saints of God begin to worship and to praise God, it strikes fear in the heart of the enemy. That's why the people of Canaan were afraid of Israel when they saw that they had the shout of the king in the camp. They knew God was with them. The presence of God was in their midst, and they were afraid. Amen. Worship the presence of God. Amen. Going before them. The ark would go before the armies of Israel. The presence of God goes before you. The Holy Spirit making a way for you. Amen. Making your enemies tremble. We can't rely on intellect. We rely on the presence of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I need to wrap this up. Amen. Let me just read a couple more statements here, and then we'll quit here. From the whole armor of God, same message here, to take on the whole armor of God. He says, the Spirit quickens the word. In other words, he's the powder that sends the bullet out there with it. Like it was the powder, you know, he's talking about a rifle shooting a bullet, right? The powder is the explosion. Amen? It's the power behind the bullet. And he says, like it was the powder when David met Goliath with a slingshot with a rock in it. He had only one place to hit, and that was right between the eyes, and the rest of it was armor, But God got in that spirit. What was it? He had five stones and a slingshot. And look, F-A-I-T-H and J-E-S-U-S. And here he comes. Something's fixing to happen because there's the word, the promise, and the power to sling it. That's what we need today, is a man that'll take God's word with the power of the Holy Ghost behind him to press it out there and watch it come to pass. That's God's army. Amen. His word of fire. His army is dressed with the ever presence of himself in there. You see, the presence of God makes all the difference. Amen. He says, going with us. I'll go with you and be in you. Not you that speaketh. It's the Father that dwelleth in you. He doeth the works. Hallelujah. We can't be satisfied, brother, sister, with just a message, word-only experience. It can't just be in our intellect. It has to be in the power of the Holy Ghost. Because when Satan comes to challenge and you think you've got the word, you don't have the living word. You've got an intellectual word. You're relying on reasoning. And then the devil's got you. Amen? You can't fight in your intellect. Reasoning is the battleground of the enemy, but faith in the word will defeat the enemy. Amen. It'll take every spirit back to that word. It'll discern the spirits. Amen. It'll discern the enemy. It'll point out that enemy, what he's trying to do, and will come against him. Hallelujah. We've got to take on the mind of the general. Amen. Just a couple more here from the same message. Take on the whole armor of God. He says, why? He was the word, fortified by the word. He rose up. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And himself come back in the form of the Holy Ghost to fortify his army. for this last day in this big onslaught where these great intellectual giants are rising. You see how the words Brother Branham's using, this is what I'm trying to show you tonight. This is a time of war. Right? See what he's using? Fortify his army this last day in this big onslaught. Great intellectual giants rising up, reasoning against the word. But I'll not leave you comfortless, he says. I'll come again and be with you, in you. That's our strength. We can't match up against intellectual giants without him. Amen. Satan knows that reasoning and where reasoning lays. Yes, sir, to be an effectual witness of his resurrection. He knowed it would take the Holy Ghost. Because man cannot do these things. So he equipped his army with the Holy Ghost to do those things. To make known the secrets of the heart as he promised. You can't do that with any kind of training. You got to do that by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's why the ministry here, it calls out and identifies spirits. It's not with training. It's by the Holy Ghost. And that's how we fight, by identifying spirits and calling them out and going to battle against them, withstanding and resisting them. Brother Branham says, this is the evening light. To make Hebrews 13:8 a reality, it would take more than a training. You can read words and read words and read words, and it'll never make it come to pass until you have the Holy Ghost there to manifest it. That's the light, putting on the whole armor of God. Not a dress only, not dress up and say, glory to God, I got the Holy Ghost. Then you're spurting all the power out in the whistle. You're doing no good. Put it into action. Put it into faith. Make it move. Make it do something. Putting on the whole armor of God to go and withstand the wiles of the devil. What's he talking about? Getting in the battle. Getting in the fight. When he said Jesus Christ is a fake religion, it's been dead for a long time, there is no such a thing as this, no such a thing as that, days of miracles is past, you stand there with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and prove that it's the truth. Hallelujah. Think I act funny? Maybe I am. I've lost my mind to the world and found it in Christ. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. It takes the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the whole armor of God, not just shake hands with a preacher or put your name on the book or take some kosher and swallow it and a priest drink the wine. That isn't it. But brother, stay there until there comes a rushing mighty wind that fills all your being, takes all your doubts out, takes your creeds out, takes everything else out and puts the word in there with the power of God behind it to back it up. Glory, I feel real good. Amen. God said so. Amen. Hallelujah. You feel good tonight? Amen. Let's stand this evening. Brother, sister, whether we like it or not, we are in a battle. The battle has come to us, so we might as well fight and we might as well win. We didn't have a choice. Amen. But we are given a choice whether we want to win or not. Amen? This human life has always been a struggle. It always will be a struggle. That's the way it is. All right? But we must be aware of the war that we're in. One of the hallmarks of people that go get cold on God or backslide is that they lose sight of the battle. They lose sight of what's happening around them. They lose that sense, that spiritual sense. They get lulled to sleep. Amen? We don't want that to happen to us. We don't want to lose sight of the struggle that we're in. Amen? We know that there are demonic forces coming against us. Coming against this church, coming against our families, our brothers, our sisters. Demonic forces. They're trying to kill. Amen? They're trying to spiritually maim and to make this word ineffective in our lives. They're trying to destroy your brothers and your sisters. It's all around us. It's like when Israel was in Egypt and the death angel came down, there was death all around them. There's death all around us. In this sinful age that we live in, there's darkness and spiritual death all around you. There are people spiritually dying every day, being killed by the powers of darkness. You say, well, that's pretty dark, that's pretty down. Yeah, but there was a group that was under the blood that had power over that darkness. Amen? And there is a people tonight that will not be touched by that darkness, but will withstand it and defeat it. But they've got to understand their role. They've got to stand up and fight. Amen? Push the enemy out. Don't give him a place. Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him any room, no wiggle room, no place. Amen? As I said at the beginning, that's action. It's active. It takes work. It's hard. Sometimes, even in the quiet times in our lives, brother, sister, we have a tendency to just kind of relax. Amen? Even in those quiet times, there's war going on. There's a battle being fought. You say, man, I'm just in this quiet time in my life. Well, maybe you should be getting ready. Maybe there's a battle coming your way. Maybe you need to be in preparation. Brother Branham said it like this. He said that, I think he quoted Abraham Lincoln. He said that if you're not in a war, there's a war coming. So if you're not in a war, you better prepare for the next war. And that's the way it is for a believer. Amen? But brother, sister, we're in a war all the time. Sometimes we just don't realize it. You say, well, everything's good. Everything's going my way. Well, you're still in a war. You might be worse off because you don't realize it. Amen? This is total war. Total and complete war. There are no, it's not about taking prisoners. It's about life and death. And not just physical life. We're talking about for eternity, spiritual life and death. We've got to commit to it. Amen? Amen. If everything's going great for you, you don't feel like you're in a battle, well, why don't you pray for somebody else? Why don't you take up your sword and fight for your brother or sister? Fight for those that are going through a trial or something hard in their life. And man, you stand with them back to back. Keep the devils off of them. Push the devils out of here so that when they come in here, they don't have to deal with those demons anymore. Amen? We can all do something. We can all pray. We can all fight. We can all claim the promises. Hallelujah. How many wants to stay in the fight tonight? The enemy is no match for you because of him. You know, I like that song. That song that quotes that scripture. No weapon formed against you can stand. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Amen? How's that song go? The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. Amen? When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. It can't defeat you. Why? Because the God I serve knows only how to triumph. And my God will never fail. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Amen. If you'd like to just be remembered in prayer, how many would just say tonight, I want to stay in the fight. Maybe you feel like you've gotten a little soft, maybe a little cooled off. Maybe you haven't been battling. Maybe you haven't been striving, fighting, praying, but you say, you know, tonight I want to get back in the fight. I want to pray for someone else. I don't want to neglect the battle. I don't want to shrink from my position and my role as part of the army of God. I don't want to let my flesh get comfortable in this Laodicean age, but I want to press. I want to push. I want to attain whatever God has for me. If that's you, just raise up your hand to Him tonight. Amen. God, we just want to come to You tonight, Lord. We're Your people, Your army. You are our general tonight, oh God. Lord, and we're crying out to You, Lord, as the author and finisher of our faith, our mighty God, our mighty conqueror. Lord, I pray that You would bless Your people and anoint Your people tonight for the battle that's ahead, oh God. Lord, we know that every moment on this earth we're fighting and we're pressing against the powers of darkness. But Lord, I pray that You would give strength tonight to Your people. Lord, maybe those that they want to press the battle more, Lord. They want to pray a little bit more, Lord. They want to get into their word and they want to push out thoughts that aren't part of Your word, oh God. I pray that You would just help them tonight. Lord, that You would come and anoint them and bless them. And Lord, strengthen them. Father, quicken, oh God, heighten our senses, Lord, to the battle that's going on around us all the time, the war that's being waged. May we be aware, oh God, that it's life and death, Lord, that the powers of darkness are coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, they're coming after the little ones. They're coming after the weak. But Lord, we are coming against them in the name of the Lord. We're calling Satan, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Oh God, I pray that Your children, Lord, would just rise up with the shield of faith and the sword of the word, oh God. That they would move into their own lives, oh God, and just cut out anything, Lord, that doesn't belong. Lord, that they would press the battle in their prayer closet, in their quiet times, oh God, that they would be mighty warriors for Your kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. How we love You, Lord. I pray that You strengthen, Lord, the weak tonight. Maybe there's some tonight they just feel weak and beaten down. They don't even feel like they can lift the sword. They don't even feel like they can pray. Oh God, I pray that You would just lift them up by Your Spirit tonight. I pray that You would just pour down on them, oh God, and lift them up into heavenly places, Lord, where they can see clearly again, oh God. Strengthened, oh God, by Your Spirit. Oh, how we love You, Lord. Oh, Lord, we give You the praise, the honor that You so richly deserve, Lord. I pray that You would help us as a church, oh God, just to push out evil spirits, Lord, to not give them any place, Lord, not give them any opportunity to work on each other or work on our brothers or sisters, oh God, not to work in us. We don't give them a platform. We don't give them a voice, but we push them out. We examine everything that comes across our mind. We examine it with the word of God and we push it out if it's not of God. Lord, I pray that everyone, oh God, would fight that fight. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for this time. Thank You for Your word that encourages us, oh Lord. We rejoice in it, Lord, and we accept it and receive it tonight as Your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. And my God will never. Amen. That's our God tonight. He can't fail. My God will never fail. I'm gonna see Him. Amen. You speak that tonight. Victory in my life, because this battle is not mine. This is the Lord's battle tonight. A victory, I'm gonna see a victory for the battle. Amen.
house.